This is a Plan Simple mini-sode where I'm thinking about one topic that's coming up in my life or in the life of multiple people in our community. And in under 15 minutes, we'll look at it from a few different angles, and hopefully you'll have some actions that you can take right away. So today, we're going to talk about giving, perhaps overgiving, and a little bit about receiving. So I've gotten myself in some scheduling, disasters by overgiving, and I know that I'm not the only one who does this. I think it's a thing that we often do as women. And so what I want to talk about is some of the ways that I've learned to both give and receive differently over the years, and how I think about giving and receiving specifically when planning. So I used to think that if I just said no, I would free up all this time to do something else. And the first time that I got really conscious about that this might not be true and that I was overgiving and that I was really out of alignment was maybe like 8 or 10 years ago. My kids were all much younger, but all three of them were at the same school. That did happen for a couple of years, which was so good. And it was a Waldorf school, and I love Waldorf schools, and I loved my kids' Waldorf school. And I genuinely wanted to give. I wanted to give back. It was such a great experience. And yes, I was paying them, but I also just wanted to contribute in whatever way that I could. And so one day, because I really wasn't on to myself, how much I was overgiving and how much it was really burning me out, someone said, "Do you want to be on the board of trustees?" And I said, yes. I didn't say I needed to think about it. I didn't even ask what I needed to do. I just said, yes. And at some level, I was really honored. At some level, I genuinely wanted to do my part. And there was also like, I wouldn't have known how to say no. I wasn't really weighing what this meant, what the responsibility was. And I was just stepping in a little bit naive. Let's just say that. And I spent pretty much a year and a half spending a lot of time doing a lot of extra work, either when my kids were running in circles around me or late at night when I really wanted to be asleep so that I could fulfill all the duties that I had on this board. I was pretty good about not doing the things during a work day, although I think the thing that finally put me over the edge was that I missed a client deadline because I had to do something for the school. And I realized I had gotten way out of alignment with myself. And I pretty much quit the board the next day, which is a whole other thing because I'm not sure I did that right either. But it made me really think, and it made me really want to solve for this in a different way. And I started to see where I was doing this in many places. So here's some of the things that I focused on to really get in better relationship with feeling great about giving and getting more comfortable about receiving right on the other side of that. So I just want to start by saying I've noticed coaching hundreds of women plan their weeks every week that often we focus on planning the thing, right? So in this case, it would have been the deliverables from the board meeting, going to the board meeting, right? It's like the obvious things we put in our calendar. And what I really, the most important thing of me figuring out how to get in better alignment with this particular situation was I started to realize I needed to spend time doing other things. So one of the way that I ended up solving this situation, and I'll really unpack it in a minute, is that I decided that I do want to give to the school, but I also wanted to give in a way that I was connecting with my kids. I didn't want it to create extra work, and I certainly didn't want it to take me away from my kids, which at that point it was. It was pulling me away from my kids at their bedtime, when I wanted to play with them at different situations where I wanted to be with my kids, and I was having to like go do this work and be on a computer and I didn't want that. I didn't, that was really out of alignment for me. So often we'll plan like the hour that will help at school or planning for a workshop I'm giving. I give a lot of free workshops, so that's me giving. Planning to take care of a parent who suddenly needs our help. That's come up, that comes up a lot in our community. And what I've realized is that actually that's great. We do need to plan for the things that are actually happening. And there's also a whole bunch of other things to take in consideration when we're thinking about our time so that we can be in right relationship with giving and receiving. And here's the, I want to sell you on why this is so important and critical. And it goes to the fact that when we really figure this out, when we take the time to really figure this out, it's one of those moments where time really bends and it becomes a lot less linear. And we're growing our capacity to give and receive other things at levels that are hard to imagine at the current moment we're at. So I don't know if that makes sense, but I promise if you start really getting conscious about giving and receiving, maybe even one thing, like in my case, the board, it starts to trickle into all areas. So one of the first things I did was take the time, because it did take time, and I still practice it, of understanding what yes and no really were, and what that felt like in my body, if it was a yes and or no, and really how maybe doesn't feel good to anybody. It definitely didn't feel good to me. It's not a yes, it's not a no, it's limbo. And it also often doesn't feel great to the other person. And I think one of the reasons that I would say yes really quickly is that somewhere inside of me, I knew this, like I felt this. But the thing was, is when I was saying yes, I really actually wasn't saying yes. I was saying yes, maybe the other person was understanding it as yes. And all of a sudden I got all these responsibilities. So one of the first things I did was I just started making a rule of I never said yes or no right away. I had the 24-hour rule and I always said I was going to think about something. And that was super important. And then after, so that happened pretty quickly. That happened like after I said yes. And I did remain on that board for like a year and a half. And after I stepped down, then I was like, okay, I need to do this differently. And that's when I figured out the thing about going into the classroom and that feeling really good. And the way that I knew to do that was I took time to write down my values, what they really were. And I do this kind of frequently because my like core values don't change, but the values that I'm thinking about on the day-to-day do change. Like I'm not worried about spending time with my kids in school right now because they're away or in high school where that's not really how it works. So I think about other times I'm spending time with my kids, right? Does that make sense? So at the time, one of my values was to be with my kids at that time between 3 and 7. Sorry if you have kids where they still want you there, but eventually they're either not home or it doesn't work that way anymore. So that's not necessarily one of the things I would write down right now. But that was one of my values at the time. Another value was sleep. Another value was I actually did want to give to the school. I did want to be helpful. And so when 2 to 3 of those things overlapped, it was like, I can say yes. So going into the classroom and helping a teacher and connecting with my kids sort of started to check off multiple boxes. It's also a time when I realized how much planning has to do with giving and receiving because I needed to plan my work week differently in order to be able to say yes to something that was happening during work hours. And so planning became a really important tool in saying yes and saying no and giving and receiving in a new way. Another thing that over the past 8 to 10 years I've really been thinking about is taking time to clean up my thoughts. So I noticed that often when I was in a negative loop, like literally obsessing all the time and telling my husband how much I didn't want to be on this board or, you know, blah, 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 like how this wasn't working at the school and all these things, I realized how much time it took just being in my head and having these thoughts. And when I was having these thoughts, I wasn't able to be creative in my work or present with my kids or really taking care of myself. These were all things that were really important to me. So I do take extra time every single day to be with my thoughts and inquire about them and wonder where they come from and why I'm thinking them. And I journal and I write them and I clean them up. I take active time doing this, and it really helps me be able to give and receive at a different level. Another thing that I learned from that actually exact experience was I learned to savor the experience. So I learned that one of the reasons that I said yes so often was it was like a dopamine hit. It made me feel wanted for a brief moment until I realized how much work it was and everything started overlapping on top of each other. And so I learned to really savor the experience. And what that looked like in that particular instance was, you know, if I was in the classroom with a kid, we would talk about it at dinner time. I would talk about what I saw in the classroom. I would express how meaningful it was to me. Maybe I would take a picture and reflect back on it later. Like, I would try to remember the actual process, the actual experience, instead of just having the short hit at the yes. The experiences would grow. They would stretch out. And what that enabled me to do was not have to say yes so much, because I could really lean in and savor the experiences that were true yes for much longer. Does that make sense? So another thing that I've spent a lot of time with over the past 8 to 10 years, probably before this too, but clearly I didn't take it in at the level that I have now, is really learning about my own tendencies for giving and receiving. So some of the ways that I've done that are, I took the Enneagram. I am a 2, which means I'm a giver. So obviously that was related, but I feel like no matter where you are in the Enneagram, there is this element of how you give and receive. There's the gift and the shadow. And so I think that that's a really helpful tool to start to understand how you specifically are wired in giving and receiving, so that you can be on to yourself about the boundaries that you need to set for yourself, because yours are going to be different than mine. Another one that was super helpful for me was learning my human design, that it's literally built into human design, how you give and receive, as is with the 4 tendencies, which are Gretchen Rubin's 4 personalities that she developed. And I'm an obliger. And so an obliger gives and receives differently than a rebel. And it's been super helpful for me to understand that, because sometimes some of the ways that we're taught to give and receive actually don't sort of correspond with our own personality, if that makes sense. Astrology has also been important. So I wouldn't dive into all these things at once, but one by one by one, I have learned more about myself through these lenses, and it's really helped me to be on to myself when, and really understand yeses and nos, and really understand where, when I'm over giving and where I'm under receiving, and really create alignment within those things. I've learned about it through Julie, who's one of our teachers, and through her shamanic teachings. I've learned about it with Kelly, who does a lot of nervous system work actually in flow and also in life. And so how giving and receiving shows up in my nervous system. We've done a lot of work with both Julie and Kelly in Flow 365 around the yes and the no. And so those like have been things that I consistently work on. It's not as easy as like fixing in an hour. I've spent time reading books. One of the books that really, really, really affected me in a major way was The Art of Asking by Amanda. I'm going to forget her last name because I'm recording this. We'll put it in the show notes. I'll put it in the thing. But super, super helpful, The Art of Asking, in really learning how to ask, which obviously is an important part of receiving. And another thing that's really helped has been working on my chakras. And this has been one of my recent studies, and really understanding that the root chakra is the giving one, and really feeling that in my body. So these are all different modalities that I've taken time, so I'm back to that time piece, to learn so that I can be in better relationship with giving and with really giving in a way that feels good to me and is in my best interest and my best alignment, because I do love giving and I can overgive and burn myself out. Okay, one of the other things that I've played a lot with over the past, 12 years, and I talk a lot about, but I will tell you, I have encountered at a whole new level, is filling my cup. And I used to always say, put your oxygen mask on first, but that whole first thing started tripping me up a little bit. So right now I just focus on, how am I filling up my cup? How am I filling up my cup? And I realized that the more I give and receive what I can give to myself, the more capacity I have to give outwards and to receive from the outward, from outside of myself. So it's this like giving and receiving relationship within me grows the capacity to give and receive outside of me. And recently I got back from 10 days of being at 2 retreats. I don't think I've ever given myself that time to truly go in and be present. And it was with 2 of my favorite teachers. One is Julie, the shaman, who I just told you about. The other is Syl, who's been on the podcast before. And oh my gosh. So I was so present and received so much. And I came back and clients were like, what's happened? My kids were like feeling so seen. My husband was feeling so seen. And it wasn't really like a trade-off, right? It's like, it wasn't like that at all. It was like, I took care of myself and I came back and I could give it a new level. Asking for help has been big. As I said, I read a whole book about it. I've probably read multiple books about it. And receiving the help that I ask for has been a big lesson. And I have learned to journal about that, take time to journal about that. I take time to pause so that I can really understand what's happening and take time to pause before receiving so that I can receive. And I've gotten a lot of coaching around asking for help and receiving and not overgiving. And all of that has been really worth the time. All right. One last thing I want to say is that I get more and more that it's so important to separate the giving and the receiving, so that it's like, I'm not giving so that I can receive in that. Like, that's not why I give. I want to practice receiving and I want to practice giving. And yes, they are a bit of a reciprocal loop, but I think we get a little tied up in that. And then we give in order to receive. And that's not quite how it works. So I've done a lot of work to separate out and really genuinely feel good about giving, and then really genuinely feel good about receiving separately. So some tangible examples of this is, I might used to have like washed the dishes, taken out the trash, done the wash, and then been really annoyed that I did all that one week, and then the next week it wasn't somebody else in my house who did it. So I've noticed that as I just learn to do what I genuinely can. So if I really can wash the dishes and feel great about it and present about it, and I practice that, I practice feeling good about washing the dishes, I take out the trash, do the wash. If I genuinely can do that and not care, it just turns out differently. And I end up receiving what I need back. And it's often not that I need somebody to wash the dishes. I actually love washing the dishes. And so I often receive back something else that's of far more value to me. And that's been really, really important, because I used to always equate those things and feel like if I gave, I needed to receive. If I gave, I needed to receive. And I have found that the more I let go of that, the better life is. This also comes up in my business. So, you know, I give a lot of free trainings, and often at the end or somewhere in the middle of a free training, I'll invite you into something, because I do the free training so I can show you how we work around here and to give you a lot of value, right? Like, both of those are true. And often I'll invite you into something because at some point there is a point where like I can give more to our clients, because this is a business and that's how it works. If I could just give all day and pay my mortgage, I 100% would, but that's not how life works. And so I used to feel like if I gave this, I had to receive something back. The second I let go of that, I started attracting all the right people, and it was like so great. And very often they didn't come through the free training. Very often they didn't. And so it's the separation has been super, super important. All right. Those were all my thoughts. I didn't quite do it in under 15 minutes, but I'm going to try to get better and better at that part. What from this really resonated with you? Where are you struggling with either overgiving or under receiving or asking for help or giving in general? Like, where are you struggling? And what's one thing that you can do from what I just shared that might help you take the first step toward being in alignment with giving and receiving within yourself? All right, I'll talk to you soon.